Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We've got a full house today and a wonderful show to be sharing with you. Joining us today, we have the actress Haneen Arafat Murphy, who plays the role of Dina, the actress Maria Paramore, who plays the role of Mikaela, the actress Yasmin Randlin, who plays the role of Sana, and the actor Jesse Castellanos, who plays the role of Elvin. We also have the playwright Ivan Foe joining us, and they're all here to talk to us about Up Theater Company's presentation of Lost Sock Laundry. It's playing April 10th through the 27th at Fort Washington Collegiate Church, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting lostsocklaundry.eventcombo.com. This show just sounds fantastic. The short description we've gotten is amazing. And so we are so excited to have such a wonderful panel joining us to talk about the show. So with that, let us welcome on our guest. Everybody, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have all of you here. I'm excited to learn more about this show. I've never even heard of the venue you're performing at, which makes me even more excited. I love discovering new places, new works, new companies. So, Ivan, I'm going to come to you first. You're the playwright of the show. Can you tell us a little bit about what Lost Sock Laundry is about?
Yeah, so it really is about the corner laundry in your neighborhood, and it sort of engages with three different immigrant women from three different waves of immigration and how they interact with each other, how they become friends, how they sort of negotiate things like identity, culture, nationality in a sort of neighborhood setting. And it's a very personal story in terms of that it's about these characters and sort of their personal interactions with each other.
I love it. I love that story. So how did you come up with the idea for that piece?
So this actually was, I was visiting my friend's apartment in Astoria, which is where the play is based, or where it takes place. And he was telling me about his corner laundry. He had just moved there and how it was sort of like all these mafia families, like controlling the dryers and, you know, sort of metaphorically that there were all these little cliques that were sort of fighting over washers and dryers and things like that. And he just said, you know, this would be a great idea for a play. And as a playwright, I'm always looking for those spaces where a story can take place. And so I kind of just ran with it from there.
Amazing. Let me bring on some of our performers now, starting with Haneen. Haneen, what has it been like developing this show?
It's been interesting. I did a reading of this, Ivan's play, about a year ago, I think, with Theater Resources Unlimited. We did a live reading. I'm not sure, actually. I've been trying to figure out in a way sort of what changed between then and now, but maybe that's a question for Ivan. So it's been interesting to kind of revisit it with a different cast and actually get it on its feet, because we spent so much more time with it. And so I've gotten to know my character so much more than I did before. A reading's a whole different animal, obviously, than working on it for 6 weeks or however long we're working on it. So Ivan, I'm actually curious how it changed in that year.
I mean, I think one thing that's changed is that the environment of the real world, I've gone in and sort of maybe underlined a few things, sort of pointed out a few things, because the play does take place a few years ago, but you know, the world that we live in now, immigration and immigrants and things are so in the forefront of people's minds. So there's maybe just a few, add a little spices here and there that have changed things around.
Amazing. Maria, how about you? What has it been like developing the piece for you?
Well, it's been about 2 weeks and a half or so, 3 weeks. I came in pretty, I guess, you know, based on the audition and with a few weeks to get started. So we've been in rehearsals and it's a very heavy ensemble piece, which is really fun and great. There's a rhythm to it, so it's challenging to pick up. It's a lot of vernacular and a lot of themes, and so I think for me it has been challenging to kind of get it all in together, and we're almost there. I think it's a really cool character for me to play. And I really like the different relationships that she has and how she is depending on who she's speaking to. And I really love the 360 degrees of the character and how I can get to play and find nuances. There's so much more I want to dig into with those themes and such. So I hope I get there by opening.
Love it. Yasmeen, how is it that you came upon this piece? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, I found it on Actors Access. And I saw that they were specifically looking for a young woman of Middle Eastern North African descent. And so I submitted and I got a call back. And I mean, actually, I read with a couple different people, but I read with Haneen in the audition. And I remember like clicking. I was like, this woman is fantastic. So when I found out that then she had been cast as well, it was such a joy and a thrill to be able to work with her. And of course, the rest of the cast upon meeting them. But yeah, it was really just, you know, a going in blind, submitting, audition, meeting the creative team. And it's been, yeah, a great joy since then.
Fabulous. Jesse, what about you? How is it that you came upon the piece?
Yeah, so Madeline Chapman, the director, runs this playwriting group, and they meet, I believe, once a month. And they had asked me to come in and read this new piece. And it was kind of funny because I actually ended up getting like really sick, like in the beginning of the year. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like texting her. I'm like, I really want to do this, but I really shouldn't come in and get everyone sick. She said, that's no problem. We'll figure out another time. And that's the wonderful thing about like, you, when you start to build your community, you have people looking out for you. So if something doesn't happen, they'll always keep you in mind. So then you can do something with them in the future. We could collaborate anyway. So, you know, she always had me in mind. And then this project came along and she was offering me the part of Kelvin. And I read the play and I was like, oh, first off, I play young all the time. So that's easy for me. But this is a story that I really gravitate towards, especially being the son of two first generation immigrants. It was a story that was very resonant and also very relevant because, I mean, immigration has always been a very relevant issue. But I mean, come on, even now, it's the tides are turning and we see a lot of new perspectives coming into the, you know, into the conversation. So, yeah.
Love that. Love that insight as well. Maria, let me start next with you on this question with such powerful subject matter, if you will. You know, what is the message or thought that you're hoping audiences take away from Lost Sock Laundry?
That's a really good question. I hope I can say what I want to say correctly. This is a city and this is a story of many immigrants, both in the play and in New York, and we all have a very, very different story. And the idea that there's different kind of types of immigrants or everybody's journeys are different. And sometimes I think we only see those stories through our own lenses and we forget how other people's journeys came about, or we just don't know. So I hope it's an eye-opening experience to be more aware of what other people are living in their own shoes, rather than always kind of keeping our own blinded lens. That's our own experience.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thought. Yasmeen, what about you? What is a message or thought you hope audiences take away?
Yeah, I want people to take away the idea that our lives are enriched by being exposed to people with different experiences than us. I personally, like, on my mother's side, I'm Moroccan, and I had the opportunity to live most of my life in Morocco and in Egypt. And so just that, and I went to international schools. And so I was constantly surrounded by people from dozens of countries with dozens of different experiences. And I think that it just makes us all more empathetic people. It makes us more interested and interesting. And so, just especially seeing the way that these three women interact, they bring different perspectives to one another's lives. And I think that they make each other better people ultimately. So I think that's what I want people to take away, that people who are different than you make you better and make your lives better.
That is such a fantastic idea. Yes, 1,000 times. Amen. Say it for the people in the back. Ivan, as the playwright, what is the message or thought you're hoping people take away from your work?
I mean, I like to say that I like to write plays for people that don't always go to the theater. And so, especially with this play, which I think, the subject matter might be touchy for a lot of people, is I really want them to be able to go away from it feeling that it's okay to have conversations about immigration, that it's okay to talk to each other, that it's okay to ask questions, feeling that those questions aren't agenda driven or aren't, sort of aggressive, but rather that there are ways in which they can get to know the other person and that it's okay to maybe ask some questions that might feel uncomfortable, but at the end of the day, that's sort of how we're going to make these those connections, kind of like what Yasmin is saying, that by engaging with things that are maybe a little uncomfortable for us, that we sort of expand our understanding of the world of ourselves. So that's kind of what I hope people take away.
A wonderful thought. Three fantastic ideas right there. I love this. Hanine, I'm going to start my last question for this first part with you, and I want to know, who do you hope have access to this piece?
To Ivan's point, I think, it's one thing if we're talking to people who are kind of on the same page as we are, but it'd be lovely to see people who don't go to the theater and who kind of, again, maybe don't want to ask questions or are nervous about maybe this conversation, see that you can talk about it, even when there are difficult questions. It'd be nice to see that kind of person come in. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't really know what's going on, and maybe you find something in here that sparks an idea in your head or makes you want to ask a question of someone.
That's fantastic. I love that. Jesse, bring us home with this. Who do you hope have access to Lost Sock Laundry?
Well, yeah, definitely what Hanin was saying about those who may have prior stigmas towards immigration, towards, just basic xenophobia, to be honest. Those who are not the most inclined to step out of their comfort zone and discover other cultures. However, on the same point, I would love to see also a lot of community members who don't see much theater because they aren't familiar with that kind of culture coming from either a different country, it can even be a different state, but or maybe if Spanish is their first language and they have a hard time understanding English, we are actually providing three Spanish translated performances that will be offered April 17th, 20th, and 27th with translation service headphones. So we're hopefully trying to make this very accessible so that that part of the audience can feel represented, seen in that way. And I think it's a mission for all of us to create accessible theater as much as we can. So those are definitely the groups of people that come in mind when I think about who I want to see this show.
And just to add to what Jesse said, those Spanish translated shows are free at the door. So if you just come at the door on those days, you can get a free ticket for those shows.
Well, for the second part of our interview, we'd love to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. I would love to start with my regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows inspire you, or just some of your favorites? And Ivan, can I start with you on that?
Sure. Always makes me a little nervous that answering this question. But I mean, I will have to say that August Wilson is definitely one of the biggest inspirations for me as a playwright. I was exposed to his work younger and just, you know, as he continued to write plays, I was able to see many of them here in Chicago, which I'm here right now, at the Goodman Theater. And those were just very inspirational because of the combination of history and real people and the sort of recognizing that the world is bigger than what we see in front of us. So those are a big inspiration for me. I also would say, you know, Sam Shepard and J.M. Barrie, which seems weird to put those three together, but I sort of draw from their theater worlds. But for living people, I mean, Paula Vogel, she inspires every playwright, but I really have really enjoyed Brandon Jacob Jenkins' work and Lynn Nottage's work, just in the way that they engage with how they sort of treat their characters in their plays.
That's a wonderful list. Some of our favorites. I love the fact that you grouped Sam Shepard and J.M. Barrie together. I mean, you know, they're about the same, right? You know, Haneen, I'm curious, what or who inspires you?
When I thought about this question, I actually am really attracted to plays that have something to do with immigrants and immigration, people who are trying to manage like a dual life or figure out, you know, what their life will be and the communities around them. And so it's coincidental in a way that I'm in this play that touches on this. But Yusuf El-Gindi is an Egyptian playwright that I really love. He wrote a play called People of the Book that's coming to New York. Sanaz Tusi, of course, who did English and Wish You Were Here. There is a playwright named Martin Yusuf Zabari who wrote something called Leilina, which is about a family sort of, you know, moving from Iraq to Chicago, I believe. And then just regular playwright, you know, I'm not regular, but I think Heidi Schreck is amazing. Like Grand Concourse versus Constitution, those two things out of her brain are pretty amazing.
Another list of wonderful, wonderful playwrights and artists that we absolutely love. Yasmin, I'm going to come to you now with this question. Who inspires you?
It's funny that Ivan said one of the first people that came to my mind was Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. I just have never read or seen a play of his that I didn't think was incredibly meaningful and incredibly insightful into what our world looks like right now. I think he just writes fantastic plays. I also am extremely inspired by Joshua Harmon. I think that he writes plays that are very specific to the Jewish experience, but to the wider Jewish experience. His recent play, Prayer for the French Republic, is one of the plays that has been most meaningful to me in my life as a North African Jew. And as a part of that, Frances Benhamoun, who played Elodie in that production, is a huge inspiration to me, a wonderful Jewish Algerian, Jewish Moroccan. She's playing Algerian. She's Moroccan, Jewish Moroccan actress. And her role in that was really inspiring to me. And then finally, I'll say Itamar Moses, also just a really fantastic playwright who is just, yeah, writing what's important in the world right now, I think.
Again, fantastic list. These are wonderful inspirations. I'm loving it. I want to now ask, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Jesse, I'm going to kick that to you first.
Honestly, working in the theater to me is like all about community, all about the people you meet, all about the relationships and friendships you make over the time. And the previous question of who inspires you, honestly, everybody in this Zoom and in the rehearsal room inspires me every day. A lot of the work that we put in is like truly remarkable. You know, Ivan's words are really palpable and has a really accessible and digestible way of like tackling these issues that are really hard, but you know, you're gonna have these conversations like in a laundromat, like, you know. So I'm very inspired by everyone around me, and building community and allowing yourself to be inspired by those around you, I think is what theater is all about, because At the end of the day, all you need is a few bodies in the space, and you can create anything.
Yes, so well said. Brilliant. Maria, what about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I think it's pretty similar to what Jesse said. I am definitely a, my love language is quality time and being present with other human beings and connecting is, I think, one of the most valuable things a human being can afford and can give and enjoy. And there's something very primal about storytelling, the way we learn, the way we grow, the way we inspire, the way we share, the way we create relationships and connections and build history and can change and make movements. I just love that whole aspect of theater and take, like Jesse said, taking nothing and building something in a collaborative effort from words on a page to interactions and knowing that all the while, not only are you communicating and building this thing with your fellow actors, artists, playwright, writer, director, stage management team, everybody, the lighting, everything that goes into creating a production, but that there's another communication with the audience who's your third or fifth player right there, that something is being shared. It's like magic. And honestly, for anybody who meditates or anybody who's trying to live as also a spiritual life, for me, it's the the time where I am most present and aware in the world. So it's very valuable.
Love that answer. It's beautiful. And that is actually a good lead into my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Yes, Ivan, please.
I can go first because it really sticks out in my head. Again, to go back to August Wilson, I saw The Piano Lesson and I was just almost not a teenager with Charles Dutton. And I just remember that last moment. For those who are not familiar with the play, go read it or go see it because the last moment in that play is just, it really transformed me as an artist to think about what theater could do and to kind of touch on what Maria was just saying, to think about how we were in that space as a group of strangers, but we were all experiencing that very spiritual narrative moment together. And that really opened my eyes to how powerful theater could be as a community thing, as a cultural thing, as an artistic thing. So definitely that's a very important memory for me.
That is an incredible memory. Wow. That play is so good. So good. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you so much. Yes, Yasmin, what is your favorite theater memory?
I think the one that kind of sticks out in my mind is the show that I did in high school that kind of made me realize that this was something that I would never be able to let go of, this world. As a 16-year-old, I was doing Spring Awakening. And there is something like almost ethereal, I think, about doing that particular play when you're actually a teenager. And I don't think a lot of programs are really willing to do that for good reasons. But I think that there is also a good argument for why you should do it. And the bond that was created among that cast and that feeling of being a young person, playing a young person, going through what young people go through, but in a very real way, not in any kind of sugar-coated way, on top of just like the joy of being able to like take out your teen angst in this productive way of doing this show, made me realize the power of theater both for the performer and for the audience, because you know that show is important for adults to see you know how teenagers can and should be dealt with. You know, teenagers should be exposed to the realities of the world to keep them safe and educated. And you know, education is key, and that's the thing of that show. And so, yeah, that show made me realize that like theater is a very, very special place for anyone involved in it, whether spectator or artist. So.
Lovely memory. Yes. Who would like to go next? Yes, Jesse.
So I have a lot of favorite moments, but if I had to choose one that sticks out to me was in 2017. I was an undergrad getting my BFA in acting, and they were doing a production of Simpatico at MacArthur Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, starring Michael Shannon. And this was a few months earlier that year, Sam Shepard had passed away. And the year previous, I had just learned about Sam Shepard, and I was really getting into his work, and I was really inspired by his words and taken aback by some of his writing. I hadn't seen a lot of I had never seen theater like that. Anywho, I decided to make the trip out to Princeton to go see this because I wanted to go see a, professional Sam Shepard play. And in the audience was Jessica Lange. And if you don't know, that was actually his previous partner. I don't know if they were married. I have to search that up. But they were Jessica Lange and Sam Shepard had a very intimate relationship for a lot of years. However, they have publicly still been very close friends. And alongside that friendship, Michael Shannon had always worked alongside with Sam Shepard and Jessica Lange with some other projects. And in that moment, there was when people kind of saw Jessica Lange enter the theater, like it was as if you could feel the presence of Sam Shepard there, being still being remembered by Jessica Lange, by Michael Shannon, by the play we're about to witness. And it was just like really overwhelming and like really kind of beautiful. And yeah, that just like really sat with me. And that only happened because theater, because we all came together to come watch a play that was written for an audience, that was workshop, that was, this and this. And now we're all together just watching it. And it was just such an overwhelming feeling of his presence, of the work that's been put in. And yeah, I think about that all the time. And the performances were brilliant, so it just made a great night at the theater.
That is a fabulous memory. Thank you for that. Hanine, I saw you wanting to go. What is your favorite theater memory?
Well, Yasmin actually made me think about something when I was little. I started out actually as a dancer, not as an actor. And I had taken class and I had performed a little bit, but I think I must have been 7 or 8. And my mother used to take me to see a lot of dance, God love her. And for doing that, and taking me to shows, even when I would fall asleep on them sometime. We went to see a show in Dallas. I think I grew up in Texas, and Cynthia Gregory was performing, who was a prima ballerina in that time. And it was we went backstage because my teacher knew who she was. And it was the first time I had seen like stage makeup up close and the sets up close and been backstage at a real performance and seen the costumes, how they look like one thing when you're out in the audience and another thing when you're close up. And just the idea was like walking, it's like Willy Wonka, like walking into the TV and actually being on the other side of it for the first time. And it was like, I don't know, my wheels got spinning or something, but it was like, it was an amazing moment for a kid to see the life-size version of this, and that, you're creating, this is a real creation here. It's really, I just remember that as being such a, I don't know, such a thing. It made me speechless at the time.
What a fabulous memory. Oh my goodness. I love that. Bringing us home on this, Maria, I would love to hear your favorite theater memory.
I don't know that I have a favorite theater memory, but I know I've seen plays that have left me, speechless or just thinking so much, like Top Dog, Underdog 2 years ago. That was phenomenal. If I could ever act like those guys, that was stellar. And, experiencing on my own, there's stories or people that I've met, but I don't know why this came to mind because it proves this point of being completely aware and in the story, but still aware of your audience. And I do a lot of theater for young people. And so there's a lot of collaboration. I work with a company called Only Make Believe. And so to be in the moment, but also being able to gauge what's going on is crucial. And I saw this on stage with Frances McDormand. She was in Good People. This was ages ago. She was amazing. Good People by David Lindsay-Abaire. And I went to a matinee, and it was a school performance. There were tons of teenagers, and they were really getting into it because the banter and the this and the that. The play was great, and she was great. But there were some kids who were like talking and like, you know, hooting and hollering and being a, you know, disruptive and such. And she has this monologue where she's like just going off to this person, and they're having this back and forth. And these kids are right by me, were like just being disruptive. And she's so focused with her partner, but in some moment she's just going at it, and then she just goes snap, 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 snap to the kids without missing a beat, without missing the intention, without losing the connection with her partner and the story that she's driving, literally driving, but just gives these kids a little hint of like, y'all need to cut it out. And they do, and they cut it out, and she goes on, the play goes on, and I'm like, my jaw dropped, because that was professionalism to a T. Obviously, you know, we've heard the stories of folks, I've seen, you know, so certain people tell people, please turn off your phone, or they're not here, all those stories. But that one was just so classy, on point, and like without losing the story, or you know, cutting the scene. I was really impressed with her, and I love her as an actress.
What a fantastic memory to end on. This is, oh, that's amazing. True. Yes, that is incredible. Thank you all so much for those memories. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Well, like I said, I work for a company called Only Make Believe, and we do plays with kids in hospitals and mental health facilities and schools for kids who with special needs or who are neurodiverse. So that's ongoing, and we have new plays coming up that we've been rehearsing. So I mean, that's a great organization to support, as well as Healthy Humor, Red Nose Docs, another company I work for as a clown doctor in children's hospitals. So those are ongoing, and they're, you know, great organizations to support if there's support out there that are theatrical and take the arts and theater to bring joy to kids who need the most. Aside from that, auditioning and, you know, having meetings regarding some projects that cannot be mentioned because they're not really solid. So we'll see what happens.
That is amazing. Maria, you are truly doing God's work there. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Anybody else?
I
No?
mean, I'm sort of winding down projects and starting new ones. And what I'm really excited about is we're just at the beginning of stages, but we're doing a sort of community-based ethnography project that explores sort of all the different ways that divisions and lines and the ways that different groups come up against each other. And this is taking place in Southeast Virginia. So that's something we're doing that we'll be incorporating musical elements and things like that. So it's at the very beginning stages, but I'm really excited to start diving into that.
That sounds incredible. Incredible. Well, that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about La Sock Laundry or about any of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Upthetre.org. I know you could get tickets. You could find out more about Up, and also you could follow them on social media. I believe they're Up Theater Co. on social media. Yeah, just stay connected. Like, all the other great institutions, they try to stay posted, let their audiences know what's going on.
And come see the show because we will all be there. So you can meet us in person at the show.
Yes.
Well, Hanin, Maria, Yasmin, Jesse, and Ivan, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing this incredible and timely piece, and introducing us to a new venue. I'm so excited about this show. So thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
having
Thank
us.
you.
Thank you so much.
My guests today have been the performers Hanin Arafat Murphy, Maria Paramore, Yasmin Ronzlin, and Jesse Castellanos, as well as the playwright Ivan Fote. All of these wonderful artists are part of Up Theater Company's presentation of the world premiere of Lost Sock Laundry. It's playing April 10th through the 27th at Fort Washington Collegiate Church, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting lostsocklaundry.eventbrite.com. combo.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you show up, turn out for this incredible work that even has Spanish translations for three of their shows, as we've mentioned in here, and just dealing with a wonderful, wonderful story. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, the show is Lost Sock Laundry, playing April 10th through the 27th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In the stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.